Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you and for us to look into part two on our series on the Holy Spirit. And we last week considered the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we looked at the truth that he is also God. And then we looked a little bit about the symbols of the Holy Spirit, different symbols such as the dove and the water and the oil and one other. This evening, we want to begin by looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we will begin by looking at that. And so what we notice with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is something that was prophesied by John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist came, and it says he bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so there was a promise of a baptism of the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, or in water, but the Lord would baptize in the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ also prophesied that this would happen. And he said, and this is a verse we looked at last week, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. And we mentioned this shows the Holy Spirit is God. He's another one, just like the Lord Jesus, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And this is a key difference between the Old Testament and the New. With when the church is born, the Holy Spirit would be in the believer. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon different individuals for certain tasks, but they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and very few of them had the Holy Spirit continually. I can think of David as one that had the Holy Spirit from the time he was anointed king, but most of the Old Testament saints would temporarily have the Holy Spirit come upon them, but he would not indwell them in a New Testament way. And the Lord Jesus also said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And so here we notice that in order for the Holy Spirit to come, that the Lord Jesus had to go away. He had to go away, and that's speaking about his ascension back to heaven after his resurrection. But he had to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come. And so that's, again, a key thing that had to happen, the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified one. He said, again, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. It was necessary for them to wait for the Holy Spirit before they began serving, before they began proclaiming the gospel, because it's only with the coming of the Holy Spirit that the church would be born, and that they were then to start out by preaching the truth so that the church could be built. And again, the Lord said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And this is just before the Lord left the earth to go back to heaven. It was 40 days after his resurrection. And we know that the not many days from now would be 10 more days on the day of Pentecost. And again, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit was to come, they would be witnesses. And so that's a prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And there's a bit of overlap. We're going to look at the church in two meetings next month. And so there's a bit of overlap, because with the coming of the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is also the historical event of the beginning of the church. The church did not exist in the Old Testament, But after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came, and that was the beginning of the church. And so we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Remember, we said that the wind was one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And it filled the whole house. And that speaks about how God can fill the whole house. And we are reminded about the temple. When Solomon built the temple, it says the glory of the Lord filled the whole house or the whole temple so that nobody could go in the temple because the glory of God was filling it completely. And here we see that filling the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. It looked like fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke in other languages. And this was during this transition, there were different sign gifts, but they were temporary. This gift of tongues is not for today because we have the complete Word of God. And it's not the gibberish that you see some groups engaging in today, but these were actual languages that they were speaking in. And these different ones that heard these people speaking in their own language. But notice it speaks of the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. We see that they were with this symbolic fire. And fire, is, as we see in the Old Testament, was an indication of the presence of God. We see when the Lord was establishing his covenant with Abraham, it says like a smoking torch, he went through the divided offerings, making his covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Remember Moses at the burning bush, when the Lord was going to commission him to send him to Egypt to be the spokesperson to lead his people and redeem them out of Egypt, that there was this burning bush and it wasn't being consumed and the Lord spoke from the burning bush. But here we see that it sat upon each of them, and that speaks about the birth of the church. And every one of these 120 so believers, they were all, nobody was excluded. They all became part of this new body, the church, with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to a bit later talk about the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're two different things. But here it says at this initial baptism, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that speaks to the truth. At the initial baptism, there was a filling or being under the complete control of the Holy Spirit. And so this was the birth of the church with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And these were 120 believers gathered, but there were other people there for this feast of Pentecost. Jews from every nation, they had come from all over the known world to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And so it was here that after the coming of the Holy Spirit that Peter got up and preached Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Peter was afraid before the cross and he denied the Lord Jesus. Now he's preaching with great power and courage. What's the difference? He's now indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching in the energy of the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching in the will of the Lord, and he's preaching Christ. And we know that 3,000 souls were saved here at the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. So many people were added to the church on the very first day through the preaching of Peter. We also would remind you at this Feast of Pentecost, when we look at the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 23, that there were two loaves that were waved before the Lord. And we see it, and these two loaves were leavened bread, and leaven speaks of sin. And many of the offerings, they use unleavened bread. But the reason they had two loaves of leavened bread is because it was speaking about believers that were still sinners, those saved, being joined to the church. And there speaks of the two types of people, Jews and Gentiles. Here at the Acts chapter 2, it's the Jews. Later on, the Gentiles will start believing. But it's speaking about the church being comprised of Jews and Gentiles. And it's, so we don't have one group of saved people called the Jews and one saved group of people called the Gentiles. This is a mystery that was unknown in the Old Testament, that not only would Gentiles be saved, but they would be of the same body as the Jewish believers that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church would be comprised of everyone, whether Jew or Gentile. And so the doctrinal teaching, we've considered the prophetic and the historical. So the doctrinal teaching is that this body is one, and think about the physical body having being one with many members. And all the members are of that one body, though they are many, they are one body. And it's a picture of Christ and the church. And so it says, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. It doesn't matter whether we're Jews or Greeks, whether we're slaves or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so the doctrinal teaching is that we, at this event at Pentecost, not only were they baptized in the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit indwelt every one of these believers, but they were also baptized into the body of Christ. And so they had the Holy Spirit indwell them. They were joined with other believers, and they were joined to Christ. Christ is the head of the body, and the church is his body. And so we're all one, but we're all different. Just like you can have a foot or a hand or an eye or an ear, but it's one body, so also is Christ. There are lots of different people, but we're one body in Christ. And that began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And now, every time since then, when somebody trusts the Lord as their Savior, they don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, indwelt by him, and you are placed in the body of Christ. There's no waiting period. It happens the moment you are born again. But there's one exception we see in the book of Acts. And we have to remember that the book of Acts was a transitional time. There was this bridge going from the time of the Mosaic Law into the church age or the age of grace. And so there's kind of a bridge or a transitional time when some things have to be cleared up or taught so that they understand that it's now a new stewardship or a new dispensation of God, that things are going to be different. For the Jewish believer, they have to understand that the Mosaic Law is no longer their rule of life. Christ is their rule of life. And for the Gentiles, they've come from a world of idolatry. Now they have to turn away from that and recognize that they are one in Christ with the Jews. And just like as the Jews do, no longer have to observe the law, the Gentiles don't have to observe the law because it never belonged to them in the first place. And so there's this transitional time in the book of Acts in this new age of the church. And so in order for that to happen, there had to be an understanding of this unity of the body of Christ. And remember, the Lord said that the gospel would be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so now we see it beginning to spread to others outside of the Jews. And so Philip goes down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. We see that the gospel was heeded. The people believed the gospel. Many people were saved. And there was what happens when people are saved, there's great joy. There was great joy in the city. But the Jews did not like the Samaritans. In fact, they hated them. And the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. And so there had to be an object lesson in order for an understanding by the Jewish believers that the Samaritans were on equal grounds with them. And for that reason, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit right away, because the Lord had to teach them this truth. Now, we know the Samaritans are the descendants of the people. Remember when the northern tribes, the nation Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they were conquered by the Assyrians around 722 BC. And the king of the Assyria, he brought in other peoples who intermingled with the Jews and married them. And there were half people, half Jew and half of other nationalities. And they became known as the Samaritans. And they lived in this area of Samaria. And so they were hated by the Jews. They were not considered of them. And there was a lot of animosity between them. And James and John in Luke chapter 9, when the Lord and his disciples were going to go through a Samaritan city, they weren't allowed to do so. They were shown no hospitality. And so then James and John said to the Lord, should we call down fire from heaven just like Elijah did? They were very boisterous in this. And the Lord, of course, told them, no, that's not going to happen. That's not what we're about. And so he didn't allow that. We also see the Lord speaking to the woman of Samaria at the well. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so this gives you a sense of the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. But what about the church? The church is going to be one body. And there has to be equal grounds between Samaritans and Jewish people. And so this had to be shown that it's going to be this way. And so the apostles, when they heard at Jerusalem that Samaria had received the word of God, they had believed the gospel, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, it's saying they had believed on the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. But this was not going to be a pattern where you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. There was a specific reason why this happened. It was to show Peter and John and all the Jewish people, and Peter and John were leaders, and they had to understand the truth that there was one body in Christ. And so if they had just received the Holy Spirit, which is an invisible kind of thing, they would have questioned, can the Samaritans actually be one with us? And so they needed to have this object lesson. And now that they had it, they knew the truth that the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit just like they had. And there was this one exception. But there's two other incidents that demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is received immediately upon being born again. The Samaritans were an exception, but we see in the book of Acts where people receive the Holy Spirit immediately after they are born again. And we see this in the incident of Cornelius. Cornelius was a just man, a man that responded to the light he had, but he was not saved yet. And he had a vision from the Lord in Acts chapter 10 to send some of his servants to Joppa, to a man named Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you need to do. And Cornelius, who always responded to the light he had, obeyed the Lord, sent these servants. And in the meantime, Peter had to be taught something by the Lord. And he had a vision of these unclean animals descending from heaven. And the Lord telling him in the vision, eat them, Peter. And Peter, who was in his Jewish background, who observed the Mosaic law, said, Lord, no, this isn't right. These are unclean. And the Lord had to explain to him, these aren't unclean. These are sanctified. These are set apart. They're good food. Things have changed. The Mosaic law is no longer in force. And so these foods are good to eat. And then at that moment, he heard a knock on the door. And he understood that the Lord was trying to show him something. And he was to go with these men. And he did. And he shared the gospel. And not only are the animals no longer unclean, but Gentiles, who were considered dogs and unclean people, and Jews were to have no dealings with them. The Lord told him, go and preach the gospel to them. And Peter did that. And so we read in Acts chapter 11, as Peter was recounting what had happened in a testimony, he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." In other words, he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them Gentiles as upon us Jews at Pentecost, which was the beginning. And so as these Gentiles, Cornelius and his friends he had invited to the house to hear Peter and his relatives, when they believed the gospel, they were immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then we have the incident in Acts chapter 19 and verses 1 to 7. And these are disciples of John. And they have been baptized with the baptism of repentance by John, which was basically prepare the way for the kingdom, prepare the way for the king. And they'd been baptized with the baptism of John, but they had not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Paul came there, he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We have not so much heard that whether there is a Holy Spirit." And they knew about the Holy Spirit because John had talked about the Holy Spirit. But what they were saying is, "We haven't heard that the Holy Spirit has come. We haven't heard about Pentecost." And so then he said, "What have you been baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus." And so when they heard that, they believed and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. And so they received the Holy Spirit immediately upon their conversion. Now someone might ask, why did Paul lay hands on them for them to receive the Holy Spirit? Because now it just happens immediately upon believing. But some have suggested one of the reasons may be because Paul was not considered a real apostle by many people. And maybe the Lord was showing that he was on equal grounds with the other apostles by having this demonstration. But the key point I'd like to impress upon you is that the moment, this is a pattern, except for the case of the Samaritans, which was an object lesson, the pattern is since Pentecost, it's once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you immediately are baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus tonight, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and you are placed in the body of Christ and you're in union with Christ and you're in union with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so that's a key thing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're a believer. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. So now we'd like to consider just for a little bit the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned that it's different than the baptism. Even though initially at Pentecost, all these believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the filling is something that has to happen on a daily basis. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a one-time event. The moment you trusted the Lord as your Savior, you were baptized once and for all with the Holy Spirit. But you have to, on a daily basis, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, there's an example of given of somebody who's drunk. And it says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So there's an example given of somebody who, when they're drunk, they're under the complete control of that drink. They're not themselves. And in the same way, as believers, we want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So think about, when you think about the filling of the Holy Spirit, it means to be completely under the control of the Holy Spirit, to be guided and directed by Him. We also notice here some of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When somebody is filled or under the control of the Holy Spirit, they like to speak to one another about the Lord. And they have a song in their hearts. They have a thankful spirit. They have unity and a submission to one another. There's a humility. And we also see that there's a reverence for God. The Lord, the Holy Spirit wants to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ to our hearts. And he wants us to know more of the Lord Jesus and to help us to be more conformed, to be like him. And so we see here that these are the results of someone who is under the control of the Holy Spirit. So when we think about the differences between the filling and the baptism of the Spirit occurs when we are saved. It's a one-time event with eternal results. When I say eternal results, it means we are eternally joined to Christ. We're eternally joined to all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the filling has to happen on a repeated basis. We need to be filled with the Spirit each day. The baptism of the Spirit is invisible, but when we think about the filling of the Spirit, we will see evidences of it. We will see people with a song in their heart. We will see people that want to talk about the Lord. We will see people becoming more like the Lord Jesus. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that one-time event that happened when you were saved. Therefore, believers are never told to be baptized by the Spirit. That's a sovereign work of the Lord. But we are commanded to be getting filled constantly by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 has a continuous thing to be constantly being filled with the Spirit each day. Every believer is baptized by the Spirit, but not every believer is filled or under the control of the Spirit. There are Christians that are carnal and they're not living for the Lord and they're not being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. But if they're truly saved, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You could say that the baptism establishes the Christian standing, their position in Christ, but the filling improves their state, their conduct in life, in their Christian life. The Spirit's baptism relates to salvation, while the filling relates to our sanctification or growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism is a result of salvation, while the filling affects service and rewards. We could say that the Spirit is the agent of the filling as we are growing in Christ. It's the Spirit that is manifesting himself through us. And so it says in Galatians 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But while the Spirit is the agent of the filling, Christ is the content of the filling. The Spirit's role is to direct our attention to Christ. He wants us to worship Christ. He wants us to know more about Christ. He wants us to be more like Christ. And so it's all about Christ, and the Spirit helps us in that. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will be more like the Lord Jesus. And so it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3:16. So Christ is the content. We are to have our eyes fixed on Christ through the word of God. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says each Christian has all of the Holy Spirit. But the command here is that the Spirit has all of him. And so if we want to be fruitful and joyful and have a victorious Christian life, we want the Holy Spirit to have all of us, for us to be completely under the control of the Spirit. So how can we be filled with the Spirit? What's the keys? What's the secret to being filled with the Spirit, to be under the control of the Holy Spirit? We need to daily maintain fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord in John chapter 13 in the upper room gave that demonstration when he washed his disciples' feet. And at first, Peter didn't want the Lord to wash his feet. He said, no, Lord. But the Lord said, if I don't wash them, you have no fellowship, no partnership with me. And then Peter said, well, Lord, wash my whole body. And the Lord gave this very important teaching. He said, you only need to be bathed once. But the daily foot washing has to happen every day. And that's the key difference between the baptism or our salvation. It happens once. But we need that daily, as we're contaminated by the world, we need to continually come before the Lord and confess our sins and to maintain contact with the Lord. And 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a message for the believer, that this daily. And so we can never lose our relationship with the Lord. That's secure. But we can lose our fellowship with the Lord. And so we need to daily maintain fellowship with the Lord in order to be filled or under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need to daily, and notice I'm using the word daily, as something we need to do each day. We need to daily read, study, meditate, memorize, and obey God's word. As we feed upon Christ, we will be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And we need to daily submit to Christ's lordship, to let him guide our lives. Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Romans 12, we're to lay ourselves on the altar before the Lord, give ourselves completely over to say each day, Lord, I want you to control me, to guide me, and to I want to submit to your lordship. Lord, what will you have me to do? And so we need to do that on a daily basis. And the Spirit will be happy to help us in that as we have that attitude of submission to the Lord. And so we could just think about three illustrations of this. When I was saying you need to continually be filled with the Spirit, you know, we're baptized once, but we need to continually be filled with the Spirit in order to be under the control of the Spirit. We have the example of eating. Certainly you would know that having had something to eat 6 weeks ago is not going to help you now. You need to continually keep nourishing your body. And it's the same spiritually. We need to continually be feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be pleasing him. We think about a car and its gas tank. It's going to eventually run out of gas if the gas is not replenished, if they don't fill their tank. And as believers, sometimes we can run on empty. And that's a very dangerous thing when we're serving the Lord. If we're serving in our own strength, if you're sharing the gospel on the street, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, if you're preaching the word of God, if you're doing it in your own strength, you are running on empty. You need to be continually feeding upon the Lord Jesus. And it's a very dangerous thing when we're, as a believer, running on empty. And then we think about a river. We mentioned that the river was one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. But think about a river has an outflow of water. If there's never an inflow, eventually that riverbed's going to go dry. And as believers, we don't want to go dry. We don't want to have those extended dry periods where we just feel we're out of fellowship with the Lord. And the only way to not have that happen is to be continually feeding upon Christ, reading his word, meditating upon it, memorizing it, and obeying it. And so as we get that inflow into us, as I mentioned last week, then we can be channels of blessing to others through the preaching of the gospel, through building up our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we need to have that inflow in order so that we can have an outflow of blessing to others as we serve our Lord. In the book of Acts, we have examples of when they were filled with the Spirit. And I mentioned at the initial baptism of the Spirit, all 20 Jewish believers were under the control of the Holy Spirit. It says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. And Peter demonstrated it when he got up and preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls were saved. When Peter and John were arrested after they healed somebody and they were brought before the authorities, it says they were filled with the Spirit after their arrest. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel," and he went on to preach and he said, "There's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we can be saved." And when they said to them, stop preaching that name, Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So they had the courage, being filled or under the control of the Spirit gave them courage when they were under arrest. And the reason they were filled, why were they under the control of the Spirit? Why were they filled with the Spirit? This is in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. It's very important not only to have a quiet time at home with the Lord, but we need to be gathering with our brothers and sisters in the Lord on a regular basis. And we have an opportunity on Sundays and Tuesdays. And the writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." We belong together. We're in union with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it can help us as we gather, and we need to be feeding upon the doctrine and to fellowship together, and we remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, and to have this prayer time. There's a strengthening that goes on as we gather together. And so they were filled with the Spirit because they were feeding upon the Lord. And they were filled with the Spirit for boldness in the face of persecution and opposition. After they were told not to preach, they went home when they were released, and they had a prayer meeting. And it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Notice that they were filled. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. That happened at Pentecost, and they don't need to be baptized again. But they were, because they were praying, they were the Spirit was having unhindered access to their very life. And so they were completely under the control of the Holy Spirit. And it says the result was they spoke the word of God with boldness. These authorities said, "Don't preach in that name anymore." They went home, had a prayer meeting together with other believers, and then they went out boldly. What gave them that boldness? What gave them that courage? Because they spent time with the Lord, and as a result, they were under the control of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told them, "Go out and preach with great boldness," to go out and preach Christ. Paul was filled with the Spirit when he was confronting evil. Acts chapter 13, when the sorcerer came and withstood them, he was trying to stop them from preaching the truth. It says that Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And Paul, in his apostolic authority, was a vehicle or channel by which the Lord brought judgment upon this man. And he became sick. Paul and his companions were persecuted and expelled from Antioch and Pisidia. But what was the result? The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Even though the message was not received, there was joy in preaching the message. And so you should never get discouraged when you share the gospel or in any act of service you do for the Lord when the message is not received. If you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, if you're in the will of God and you preach and are faithful to the Lord, you're not responsible for how people receive the message. And there's a joy in just serving the Lord. There's a joy in preaching the gospel. There's a joy in serving the Lord. And it's got nothing to do with how people respond. And it says they were filled with joy in the face of this opposition. And then our final example is Paul and Silas in jail. And it doesn't say here they were filled with the Spirit, but they gave evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Remember I said it, one of the evidences is you have a song in your heart. And these men have been tortured and whipped, and they're in stocks, and very painful to be in stocks. I've never had to do it or been in that position, but I know it's a very painful thing when I've read about it, to be in stocks where you can't move and your body is not in a comfortable position. And what were they doing? It says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How can somebody be, people be praying and singing when there's it's so uncomfortable and in pain? Well, they were under the control of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and they gave evidence of it. There was a song in their heart, and they were praying to the Lord, and they were praying for their persecutors. And they were people that were just thankful. In spite of their circumstances, they were thankful because they had been obedient to the Lord. And so that's a quick look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling. And as before, you will get the slides. And if you have any questions, certainly, if not tonight, next week, you can ask them. But just go over it and remember that the baptism is a one-time event that happened at your salvation. If you know the Lord tonight, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit forever. He indwells you forever. But the filling depends upon you. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, if you're going to be under the control of the Spirit, you need to be in fellowship with the Lord. You need to be feeding upon the Word of God. You need to be gathering with other believers, and you have to be living lives that are submitted to Christ's Lordship. And as you do that, you will be filled and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each brother and sister here tonight. We pray that you will encourage them with these words. If there's anything they don't understand, Father, we pray for their help in understanding. And Father, we pray that we would be a people that would be desired to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And it's not any mystery or secret to it, Father. It's just to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him and to serve him and to listen to him and obey him and let him guide our lives through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the birth of the church at Pentecost, first with the Jewish believers and later on with the Samaritans and Gentiles. And we thank you, Father, that we are all one in Christ. And even tonight, Father, we come from so many different backgrounds, Father, but in Christ, we are all on equal grounds. We are one in Christ positionally. And yet, Father, we know there's different levels of maturity, and we're all on different stations on the road of sanctification. Help us to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus so that we can be fully pleasing to him and to you and be used of you for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.